the bottom of page Nun Zayin Nachshav Sevarishim. The Rebbe is talking about simanim, signs of where our davening is, and by way of hakdama to the avodah that we're talking about, that he's going to be talking much more about how to develop the hisrakshas and the hislavus. So to be careful to understand what's not hisrakshas, what's not hislavus, and he's been a little bit rough on us, but as he's going to explain in a few minutes, it's not something we think about during davening. And a few of the guys afterwards, you know, were asking me that it's very, when a person is davening, if we should think of these things, and the answer is definitely not. The Rebbe's going to talk about it, as I mentioned. The Rebbe's going to be talking about that in a few minutes. But one has to be careful that there shouldn't be dimyan. So on the bottom of Nun Zayin, Oyd Simin Zelacha Kidana Shirak Oyvdim Hakdoyle Michel Mulislahi Becholat Filakula. Another simon, he says that you should know that only very, very big Oyvdei Hashem, very, very great people are able to have a Hislavus throughout the entire davening. They're able to experience Hislavus from the time they start davening to the last Kaddish after Aleinu. Very few people, great people, are at such a madrega. That's not something which is generally by regular people, and certainly not by somebody who's just beginning to try to get more into davening. Even if you're able to concentrate and to focus on the meaning of the words throughout the tefillah, in other words, from the beginning of davening, from Birchas Hashachar till Aleinu, you are able to stay focused and concentrate on the translations of the words. That's something which, that itself, as all of us know, requires a tremendous effort to be able to stay focused on every single word from the beginning of davening till the end of davening. But that's just as far as the Perush Hamilas is concerned. But to have Hislavus, to be able to be on such a madrega, to experience Hislavus for the entire davening, is there's only a few ayyudim. Even for an advanced davener, that's somebody who's working on these things, it's likely that it's only by certain places in the davening for brief moments in tefillah. When the kol shekein mishen ezeicher page nunches mishen ezeicher rak lesrakshes, and certainly a person's bechlal not on a madrega really having it, experiencing islavas, but an occasional emotional lift. Hisrakshes certainly shliuchel hisrakish bechol tefillah. It's not throughout the entire davening. Lachain, therefore, habet achat filoschad. He says, take a look again at your davening. In yeshar ha'isakul b'slavus lefidin reichad. If it seems to you that your entire davening took place in a state of hislavus, azda shegam lehisrgashta b'zeh. But then you should know that you didn't even have hisrakshes. Now that's tzedimian. If you think that your whole davening was b'hislavus, he says that's a simon that that it wasn't even b'chlal b'hisrakshes. Because that's only by the biggest ayyudim that they could sustain such tremendous islavas from the beginning of davening till the end. But if in your davening there were mountains and valleys, there were lights and there were shadows, darkness, aliyas v'yiridas, ascents and descents, risings and fallings, Then it could be that Yitaka had his rakshas. We don't know about his slavas, but it could be that there was something there. But if it seems to you that the whole davening was gewaldic from beginning to end, so that's the Rebbe says that's a simon that it was, that there wasn't anything. Or maybe there was a little bit of something, but it wasn't really his rakshas. Because for regular people, for most people, davening is an avoid of harim and amokim, of mountains and valleys. But don't make, now here's where he clarifies, is very important. Don't make a mistake to think that I'm advising you. After all of this, the Rebbe says, I'm not telling you that you should, that when you start davening in the that your objective in davening should be to have hislavas, to feel hislavas. That's not what I'm telling you. Shetavakish hislavas betfila. And then to check up on yourself every couple of minutes and davening to see whether is this Islam, is this not Islam, is this Swakshi, is not a Swakshi. That's not what I'm telling you. Hasma Haskir, I'm not telling you that. Not telling you that this should be the objective of your davening, that when you start davening, that you should think to yourself, I want to have this feeling of Islavas, and then throughout davening to look for these simanim of whether or not you're having Islavas. So cry Venu Khalal Misifra Kaidish Shabatfilo Yevakesh Islavias. The Rebbe says that real davening, we see from the Swarm that real davening is that you don't set out with this objective. That's not when you're davening. At different times, your avoid is to prepare yourself and to come to a madrega where you could experience davening in such a way. But when you start to daven in the morning or whenever it is that you're davening, it's not that you have this objective to reach Islavias. Your only goal when you daven has to be that it should be tefila pshuta, to understand what you're saying, and as we'll talk about more, to put your koyach into it, to put your koyach is your energy into it, the kavana, and to try to concentrate as much as you can on the davening. Vahislavas nemelosava. The Islavas is something which will come on its own. Now, it seems odd, since the whole Sefer is talking about how can a person develop into someone who's a mislav and a misragish. But the Rebbe is going to explain. That's your avoda through your learning and through your kima mitzvahs and your hachanas for davening and so on. But the actual time of tefillah, one doesn't think about, is this Islavas? I want to be mislav. That's not at all. The davening has to be tefillah pshuta b'karcha kavana. That's all. The Islavas, if you're working on the things that the Rebbe is going to be talking more about, if you're working on these projects of being megala, of revealing more of your pnimius, so then mimela, as a result of that concerted effort that you make in kavane and tefila b'kayef, mimela you'll experience Islavas. Also, a Jew who davens with daimelos et filos shkur b'fiv misvagish b'libay. A person who's davening and he's feeling that there's Yisraqshus in his heart, b'chlal lo yivakesh az cheshbainus. He says b'chlal, he should not then think of different cheshbainus. Lo shiyachke az achar atzmai. He says, I'm not suggesting at all that at the time that a person is davening that he should interrupt his kavanus with chakiris, with inquiries, investigations as to whether or not this is considered to be Yisraqshus. In the middle of your davening, you start thinking about, well, what is this? How does this fit into the scheme of things? And when you're davening, you shouldn't seek any other cheshbainis. If you begin to have different kinds of chakiris about your davening, Yiskara, your entire davening is going to be cooled down. It's going to become cold. You're just going to end up thinking about different things instead of actually davening. You're going to be thinking about davening, but you're not going to be davening. If you just daven without any chakiris, at all, even if the whole davening you didn't feel was so gevaldig, still, there will be parts, even though it wasn't the whole davening, even though the whole davening was not betayv, did not really work out betayv, but there will be chalokim min ayalalai. There will be parts of the davening that you will feel, that you'll realize that were good. And even if the whole davening wasn't good, if you keep on plugging away, tefillah b'kavana b'kayach, that's all. If you keep on plugging away, then eventually, the second, third time, there'll be tefillas that will have parts in them that will be very special. B'seif HaKadosh, Beis Aaron, Isa. So it says in the Beis Aaron, Shekshabo HaYetzahara Elov B'tfiloso and Cheshbainus. When the Yetzahara comes to you during davening with Cheshbainus, Hainu Sheyasal Cheshbon HaNefesh Me'atzme B'shas HaTfila. When you start to make a Cheshbon HaNefesh, the Yetzahara comes to you during davening, you start to make a Cheshbon HaNefesh. Who are you, and what kind of a Jew are you, and what kind of avarice have you done, what kind of misses do you do, and what does God think of you, and all of these different Cheshbainus. If you start to make Cheshbainus, the Beis Aaron says, that's the Yetzahara talking, if you're making Cheshbainus during davening. Azmat chayu azman acher. You must push it away. Azman acher. It's a person can make Cheshbainus, and Hashem wants us to make Cheshbainus. It's okay. It's a good thing. Suddenly it's okay. It's supposed to be people that make Cheshbainus, but not at all. The Beis Aaron says not at all during davening. You don't make any Cheshbainus. Who can help? Av shloim b'shasat tefilah tzichem lasas kol Cheshbainus. When it's not time for davening, then certainly it's good to make Cheshbainus at specific times and designated times you make Cheshbainus. Ulai b'shas Cheshbainus ha'tita leiris b'char rak tayv. It could be that at the time that you're making Cheshbainus, you're going to make a mistake and see that everything is all you'll see is good. Ata tayv, you're good. Gam tiloso zaka b'nech v'slavus v'aliyus. And you will think that your davening is pure and perfect, with all kinds of islavis and aliyas bishvil zeh, lanetzach b'shifluso chas Hashem tishar. And because of this, because of your inaccurate way of making a cheshbon, you will, God forbid, remain forever in a state of shiflus, chas Hashem, and loisalav l'sisargish. You'll never ever come to Yisrakshus, for nafshcha b'kvarosa tishar. And your soul could remain buried. And you'll never be able to overcome the Yetzirah if you're not a person that blame nefesh, without the soul, without the nefesh. He says, that's the purpose of simanim. The reason that we're talking about simanim and cheshbainus is not during the time of davening. During the time of davening, it'll be very simple. Again, tefillah b'kavana b'karech, very, very simple. At different times, you have to make honest cheshbainus of who you are and use some of the siman, some of the examples that Rebbe gave to judge whether or not you really are a person that's mislaiv or not mislaiv. Because if you don't make these honest cheshbainus, if you're not a person that lives with a cheshbon hanefesh, so then you could, God forbid, remain all of the time in a state of shiflus, and you'll make the mistake to think that davening that you had, that it was a davening of Islavis, and you'll never really change, you'll never really improve. So certainly you have to use simanim, guideposts and simanim to see, to judge, but not at the time of davening, only when you're making a cheshbon nefesh. Well, b'frat em maitzi atas ruchach kol kach kosheleim ani ben toira ani chosid v'chul. Especially if you're the kind of a person that's a bit arrogant and you are satisfied with the titles that you've decided, that you've taken for yourself, and other people consider you to be a Ben Torah. In other words, in the eyes of the world, you're a Ben Torah, so you are now called a Ben Torah. You're right, you're wearing the right outfit, and you go to yeshiva, and everybody looks at you that you're a Ben Torah, or if you're a chassid. Oz kedei shel olah, it is kol shnayis chayecha b'chaim shel tos. So I'm only suggesting, Rabbi says, that you shouldn't destroy and waste your entire life living a mistake. V'chaim shel tos, na'aseis and esyenis lefamim, rak lefamim. Try using some of the tests that I've mentioned occasionally, he says. Obviously, there was always worried about somebody becoming obsessed with these things and becoming depressed, which is not uncommon. So he says, na'aseis and esyenis lefamim, rak lefamim. Occasionally, one should evaluate with these nisyanis. But remember this very well. That when you take these tests, then you evaluate yourself by the time of cheshbon nefesh, not during davening, but at the time of cheshbon nefesh. And you see, as a result of the test, you see that there's much missing in you. Even if when you make a cheshbon hanefesh, not only have you come to the, not only are your results of the test indicating that you're lacking in hislavus, hisrakshus, and your avoda, but you're also a chayte chasasham, that you're a person that is involved in things that are, it's not a question of a lack of hislavus, there are things that are actually terribly wrong. There are aveiras, there are chatoim. As tidag harbe, and you'll be very worried. And teyanach, and you'll krechts. Omar timamra, and himas libcha, and you'll feel a bitterness, and your heart will melt. The yivez beinecha chayim megoelim ka'elin, you'll become disgusted with such a horrible, meaningless way of living. Am shukotzim beinei lekim ve'ahav, of a life that is disgusting in the eyes of Hashem and those who love Hashem. But the Rebbe reminds us, of course, as always, that you should not chas v'shalom remain.
What's inside the standard?
That you shouldn't remain, God forbid, it shouldn't bring you to atzvus and to remain in sadness. As we've spoken about before, that as important it is to experience merirus, bitterness, and to do tshuva, in other words, that a person makes an honest cheshbon nefesh, which brings to bitterness and is part of the process of tshuva, kein ha'atzvus leishor ba'asur. It's forbidden to remain, God forbid, said. It's very hard, it's not vital to climb out of it. U'machekes min ha'kedusha. Of course, sadness drives a person away from holiness. It drives a person away from Kedusha, and from Avodas Hashem in general, and from davening and Chassidus in particular. That it doesn't work together. Sadness and davening don't go together. Sadness and Chassidus don't go together. Shuv b'tshuva. So the Rebbe says, do tshuva. The Kabbalah lech l'sakin atzvacham yata, and accept upon yourself to try to be better. U'betach b'Hashem, and trust in Hashem, she Kabbalah's tshuva, so that he's accepting your tshuva. K'mer shekosu b'gerz ha-tshuva yud'alav me'harav ha-kodesh n'balatanya, and he gives a tshuva from the Balatanya, shelachein onu b'varachem b'chol tfilah shemen esrei, b'orchat ha-Hashem chanun amar v'lislech. Every time we dive in shemen esrei, we're not only allowed to, but we are responsible and obligated to say Baruch Atah Hashem Chanun Hamar B'Lislech, that Hashem is compassionate and he's Mar B'Lislech. He forgives, he continues and forgives and forgives. He's Mar B'Lislech. So the Tanya says very Sufik Brochas Lahakel. We know that we never ever make a bracha when we have a Sufik in a bracha. We don't say Hashem's name if we have a Sufik. If there's any slight doubt, we don't make a bracha. So Tanya says, "Mishum chashash bracha levatola, mishum she'ain." So how can we make this bracha three times a day? Bracha to Hashem. We say b'shem malchus, bracha to Hashem, chanan amar b'lislech. So how can we say such a thing? If there would be the slightest suffix that Hashem forgives us, as many times as we ask and we fail, once again we fail. We could say again, bracha to Hashem, chanan amar b'lislech. Yishum she'ein safik u'sveik sveik ha'vaylam hazeh. So Tanya says, because there isn't even the slightest, tiniest sveik sveik, the tiniest little tiniest doubt of a doubt in what, in the truth of what we're saying, that no matter what's happened between Shachris and Mincha, between Mincha and Marv, between Marv and Shachris, no matter what's happened, if a person says Chanan Amar B'Lislech, and he means, and he's sincere that he wants Hashem's Baruch to forgive him and he wants to change, there's no question that Tanya says that he's absolutely forgiven. From Shachris to Mincha, from Mincha to Marv, from Marv to Shachris, every single time he says those words, Baruch Ata Hashem, and he means them, and he's seeking forgiveness, and he wants sincerely to change, even if he doesn't know how he's going to change. And he hasn't been able until now to change. But he says those words with sincerity. So Tanya says, there isn't even a safik, a sveik sveik. There isn't even the tiniest little doubt by Ilam Elza. Mavada Yislach Le Hashem. As the Tanya writes, it's kedai to see there in the 11th parak of the Gez Atshuva, and certainly Yislach Le Hashem, that Hashem's Baruch will forgive him. Af b'koyach kedushas Yisrael shebecha tiftach. And the Rebbe says, and a Jew has to always trust in the great strength of kedushas Yisrael, of that holiness of being a Jew that he possesses no matter what. Shagam shakraki balta lacha kama ponon l'stakin v'chshalta. Even though you see that in your life, there are many times that you accepted something upon yourself, and you wanted to correct something, v'chshalta, and you still failed over and over again. L'komokom kasherak this ametz me'ata. If you really, all you have to think is that you really to try again. Pisaim har yisrael k'dushos hatunim v'cho yavriku. Then suddenly, at any time it could happen, that inherent light, that kedusha of a Jew that's hidden inside of you, could all of a sudden begin to shine. If you miss ametz, even though it's happened a thousand times and it hasn't worked, the kedusha Yisrael is always in you, and therefore, if you miss ametz me'ata, that suddenly that light that's hidden can shine. But as we were learning in the Eretz HaTshuva, we're in the middle of that inyan in the Eretz HaTshuva we were talking about last week. A person has to be very, very careful not to fool himself and to, as the Rav Kook said, not to immerse himself in the tanchumim of tshuva, in all of the encouraging words of the Svarim HaKadoshim, and to live forever with these thoughts of that Bemis, I'm Gevaldik, and so on, and I have this Pintaliyid, and God loves me, and everything's terrific, and so on. As we're talking about, there's a tshuva, which Rav Kook calls that the Avodah Zarah, the idolatry of compromise, of Vasronus, of conceding, the Avodah Zarah of being defeated through concessions and compromises. That's an Avodah Zarah, that's a form of idolatry, which is the aside, which Rav Kook, we're going to continue with Mitzvah. If it's davening, that's the aside of Christianity. An Avodah Zarah of making feeble efforts to change and to improve, and otherwise always focusing on the tanchumen of, on the words of consolation, that you're a good boy, everything's okay, God loves you no matter what, and you know, and you're being saved and so on, and your soul is holy and pure and it's good and so on, and you can do every aveira in the world and every hashchas in the world while remaining in that shakua, immersed in the biggest filth on earth all of the time, constantly, you know, reading the nice things and learning these nice things in the Svarim HaKadoshim and talking about, you know, chassidish things and vetlach and so on, and being a big bucky and all of those tyrus, you know, in the Kedushas Levi and Rabbi Nachman that talk about how great you are and how special you are and so on. So that's something one has to always be on guard, not to, God forbid, fall into that delusion and to think that that's what the tzaddikim are talking about, that they were just telling you that no matter what you do, everything is fine. That's not what they were talking about. But there is an inherent kedusha in a Jew, but he has to be in misamitz his whole life. He has to be struggling his whole life to reveal that. And if you do, then it will happen. That pisam har yisrael kedushas, the Rebbe says, atumna b'chayaviku, that inner light will begin to shine. And you should always, all the efforts that you make in Avodas Hashem should be with that hope. Not, God forbid, that you should be a person of Echtav Oshav, that, you know, that maybe I'll become a little bit better and then I'll go back to it and so on. But that the effort that you make should be with that hope and that yearning that you should taka be able to reveal that Nekudas Yisrael from within inside of you, and that you could become a big Ovid Hashem. And every time that you say the words, Baruch Atah Hashem, Chanan, Amar B'Lesloch, it should be with that hope and that tefillah, that the Baruch Shem should forgive you, and that you're going to be misames and try, at least that you want to try to become better. And it's not even a suffix, as the Tani says, a sreik. In the world, that Hashem doesn't accept that Hashem doesn't forgive you. That's why the original says, that's why in the chsim of the bracha in Yom Kippur, the kedushas ayin of Yom Kippur, it's called the solchan umachalan l'shifta isha, and solchan umachalan So those words that we have Yom Kippur, so the Rishna says, it means that you're continuing, continuously forgiving. Solchan u'machalan. Not a regular supposed to be Seileach u'machal, but Solchan u'machalan are midas, that meaning that it's constant Solchan u'machalan. Hashem's Baruch is continuously, every single second. Nimloi shamata oid mibali tshuva ke'ilu. He says, haven't you heard that there are Balei Tshuva like this? Asher Shonim Rabbas Hayin Nemuchim, people who for many, many years were in a low place. U'b'shayit achad v'rig achad, and in an hour, in a moment, Olu al Mokim Shagam Tzadikim Gumri Lorch Alamim, they rose to very, very high levels. They rose to very high levels, to high madrigas, because they kept on plugging away. They kept on, mamish, they kept on plugging away. Without stopping.
Plugging away or in a moment?
It sounds
like contradictory.
Oh. Because they were plugging away, then in a moment that happened. Why is that? That's not a contradiction at all. That's the whole side of what he's saying. It doesn't just, it's not out of nowhere. It's because a person's trying.
So in a moment, that's just talking about the peak of when it happens. It's not talking about that.
Yeah. There was a... There was a Yid who took upon himself to say one day at the Kaisel to say the entire Sefer Tehillim. And he went to the Kaisel and he sang the whole Sefer Tehillim. And he didn't have any Hagish at all, there was nothing. Until finally he got to the very end of Tehillim, he was saying the Kapitlach that we have, that we say every day in Davening, you know, in the Hallelujahs, he was saying this Kapitlach at the end of Tehillim. From the Sukkot Zimri, he's saying that that's at the end of Tehillim, right? So he's saying those Kapitlach. And he had his Rashis. And this is very, very odd, because normally the things that you say all the time, those are the last things that you have any feeling for, right? And the other, he would have, you know, he was hoping that during the other Tehillims, you know, Tzamul Chanavshi, gone, there's nothing. Then all of a sudden he gets to Ashrei, ooh, there's a, and Hallelujah, that was very odd. You know, why would he feel anything at those Kapitlach? They're the ones he says all the time. And the whole Tehillim, he didn't feel anything, so he went. So he went to Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter, Zogar Zon Zayin, and he asked Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter, what happened, why did it happen? So Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter said, it's because every single word that he was saying in Tehillim until that time was chipping away at your neshama. And that was really the end of Tehillim, and then the end of Tehillim, it worked. Every single word that he was saying all along, if you don't realize it, you just say the words. Every single word was clapping away, was hacking away the piece of that rock that's on your heart. You don't feel it. It's just tip, every single word of Tehillim from Asher Yish, tip, every single thing. And then finally, you know, it starts to move over, like it starts to, like the, you know, starts to break away chunks of the, and then at the end. So then, but you see that you'd wanted. He wanted to say the whole Tehillim, and he wanted to get close to Hashem. He wanted to have the koyach u'bekavana. Just it was hard for him, but those are his chamzus. It doesn't just happen out of thin air. There are minyanim like that too, but that's not usually, and that's not how we should live. It doesn't just happen. A person's a bal avoda, and an avoda means that it's not avodas. It's not vayda of a Kabbalah's old to say all the words. The biggest kedusha this time of the year is that a person comes to shul. That's why I have such. It makes me so sad when I look around and let's say davening is supposed to start Rosh Hashanah at 7:30, and I see that, you know, like 2/3 of the island haven't come to shul yet. Have such a chalisha sadas in that. Because our madrega in our days were on such a diminished madrega that the whole Indian. A major part of the inyan of our tshuva these days and of being forgiven by Hashem and being able to, it's just that we try to come and to say the words. And I don't understand how a person like Rosh Hashanah wouldn't want to be in shul on time. I don't chap it. I don't get it. That's the whole inyan. We're not Bali Madreg. Mele, if you'd be like one of these Polish Hasidim that the Rebbe is talking to or about, you know, in Warsaw, and you come to shul 15 minutes late, but you're on fire and you're mamish, and you're living with big, big Hasagis and Avaida. No, Mele. But the whole reason that Hashem looks upon us kindly is that we say the words.
So at least he shows up. The guy, like, he's a member. He's here. How could someone come to shul a half hour late? Like, I don't chav. I'm naive, so I don't get it. To stay in bed on Rosh Hashanah, on Yom Kippur, that a person shouldn't be there earlier to get ready to. I mean, it's a pet. Why do you think Hashem would forgive you? Is such a balchuv? The Baruch Hu has rachmanis. At least the Yid and Rosh Hashanah says, I'm here. I don't know what I'm doing here, but I'm reporting for duty. I'm here. No, you come in, you say, I don't know how to do tshuva, I don't know what to do, I don't know how to change, I haven't changed in whatever, 30, 40 years, I'm trying a little bit like this, I learn, I dive a little bit, but I'm here to say the words. No, I don't understand what I'm saying, I'm trying to look in the English a little bit, I'm trying to look at this parish or that, I don't know what it even means, all these fancy piyutim, and I don't know. But I know that these are words that you want me to say in the color pachs, I'm here to say the words, and I'm here on time. I'm afraid it's such a din, God forbid, that a person doesn't come to shul on time on Yom Kippur. So what a din. It's a pachad. You know? We need that if a person's thinking, I mean, what a chutzpah would be, can you imagine if the judge is sitting in the court and everybody, the jury, everybody's sitting, the guy like, you know, that's what these basketball players, when they get, they all eventually get arrested for something, or any of these movie stars when they get arrested, they don't show up, or they come late with their agents, and they walk in there with their mothers, with the mothers crying, he's a good boy, and they walk in with their whole entourage later with the reporters. It's a bit of chutzpah on earth. Mechutzav. You're at a dentari. You're being judged. It's the most basic belief that we have. Is that the first thing is that you show up in court on time. Even a Rosh Hashanah person, is wallowing in his bed and he's got his head on his pillow. I mean, that's the only limit. Chutzpah. He's helping with children. Even a kachashim to help with a kid in Rosh Hashanah. That's also an excuse to tell the judge, my wife needed me. Is that a cheshbon? So that's a cheshbon of tzidkus, that you'll feel good that you walk into the shul and Rosh Hashanah, help your wife at 3 o'clock in the morning. Nobody then is a tzaddik. It's only tzaddikim when it's on the Baruch Shalom, it's only when it's on the davening, during the time of davening. But if it's at the time of sleep, it's not a tzidkus. Person should think, what's my halavayda? At least I come to say the words and I stand there and I don't walk out of shul for 15 minutes, a half hour, come back, a hin and a hair, and coming and going and not being able to, you say the words, it's a Kabbalah soul. The Baruch Shalom, it could be the whole din is that a person's looking, that the Baruch Shalom, is he at least reporting for duty and saying the words? Without much emotion, without it, whatever it is, but he's here, he's part of the seaboard. But you look in the shul and see that the davening starts, whatever it is, 7:30, 8 o'clock, and people are walking in a half hour late, Mr. Shan. It wouldn't work anywhere in the world. It would be, it's totally unacceptable in any court on earth. So, Allah's come with a comment, the Bezer Shalmal, it doesn't work. I mean, it's not to say things, but a person has to make a cheshbon nefesh, to admire himself, they should do the Kabbalah's all. So that's what the Rebbe's not talking about, deluding yourself and fooling yourself. He's talking about a Jew that's misamates. He says, and you make the effort, and you want to change. And he says, then you see that if you keep on plugging away and saying the words and doing the right things, so it's possible in the person Bamis wants to change, that Beriga Chada, that in a moment there can be that opening. Because Sofkosof, the underlying insight is that there's Kedushas Yisrael inside each and every one of us. In other words, there's a huge reservoir of holiness inside each and every one of us. It's a question of breaking through to get to there. And therefore, the words that you say, even though you don't have much feeling, but the words that you say, each word that you say, that's what the Rabbi Yaakov Meshach was telling me. Each word that you're saying is chipping away the stone, is breaking away. Libayulis, manmerlis, chazigulis, merch b'shem, that's the life of a Jew. To be worried and to be embittered, to be tzibrochen, to be mechazik yourself, l'smoich b'shem, and to rejoice. Say klal v'al b'avad chassidus, that's how one says, Hashem v'ashem yirachem yazvenu, shebedavreinu v'zeh, nizkonu l'eskarev, that we should be zeicher to get closer to Hashem by talking about these things, v'aysel karev v'chassidus, to get close to chassidus, l'ahovin v'alechis b'ikvis v'abasenu, to go in the ways of our teachers, of our tzaddik, of the tzaddikim, v'abasenu k'dashenu, nishmosem beginzeim v'raimen. Okay, it's the Eidlum, so the Slicha starts at 6:40 in 3 minutes downstairs, so. We'll continue in the 7 next Arab Shabbos. Yeah, we'll be able to continue.